offering humble pranams at Bhagwan's lotus feet. This is Prem from Team Radio Sai welcoming all our listeners to the afternoon satsang of Thursday Live in Radio Sai. As always, it's a beautiful Thursday, warm nevertheless, but it's wonderful to come together to think, reflect and recollect some of these beautiful stories which we always do as part of afternoon satsang. And like I had last week, I have with me, to give me company and to give you all company, Brother Sai Prakash of Radio Sai. Welcome, Sai Prakash.
Thank you, Prem. It's really nice and a warm Thursday, as you just mentioned.
Before we go on to the topic that we have decided for today, there's something I just recollected.
Okay.
You know, one of those hot summers, Swami was still in Parthi. He had not gone to Kodaikanal or Vrindavan.
Right.
And somebody asked Swami, "Swami, aren't you going to Kodaikanal or Vrindavan?" Then Swami said, "Why should I go?" And then they said, "Swami, it's getting very hot here in Parthi. And everybody knows how hot it gets in summer here at Parthi." And then Swami gave a very beautiful answer. He said, "See, I am born and brought up here in Parthi. And for me, the heat and cold doesn't matter. It's for the convenience of the devotees." So, although you mentioned it's a warm Thursday, it is really a hot Thursday out there.
Definitely, and it's a... April used to be a very exciting month, especially when we were students, because even if we were studying in Prashantanilam, even if we were students of Puttaparthi, there was something special about Swami being in Vrindavan.
Correct.
Those summer months was something which we used to look forward to. Of course, because of those... magical and nothing like that. Those Thrayi sessions.
We
used to sit in Swami. And I remember, you know, the first few Thrayi sessions that I had as a student.
Yes.
When I first saw Swami outside, the way Swami was gracefully moving around, and there was an aura about him. There was something special about his presence.
Very true.
But that same evening when I saw Swami in Thrayi, he looked so much a part of us.
Part of us. Very true.
He was so different. He was, you know, there was... some kind of a down-to-earth nature about the way he was talking to all of us.
Exactly.
It was very special. And the other thing so special about this, April, is as we are speaking today, I'm sure there are some students writing their entrance exams for the university.
Yes.
We had the entrance for the girl students a couple of days back, and I think they have the interviews today. And admissions for the boys, the entrance exams are going on even as we speak today.
That's true. And how many of them would have spent sleepless nights preparing for the exam?
Absolutely.
And very eager to get into Swami's institution. So that brings us back to the topic,
right.
What we are actually planning to discuss today. And like how we were discussing last Thursday, we thought we should further discuss about Swami's education institution. But before we actually get into how this institution and this university is special, I think we were just recollecting certain aspects and features of the general educational system that has been in place over the centuries.
Right.
So what would you like to say about
that? Yeah, actually, if you look at even the most primitive form of education system, there was no system, so to say, but there was a kind of a structure, even if you look at ancient India. You know, there were some things which were considered as education.
Correct.
The study of the Vedic literature was considered as education.
True.
Art and music was considered as education. But a lot of skills were left out of this system of education.
You think that's because of the, you know, division into Brahmanas, Vaishyas, Kshatriyas, and they had...
Right. You know, and it was considered only the Brahmin class was the education related class.
But Kshatriyas visited, learned from...
Right,
in
exactly.
Rukulam as well.
So there was this concept of, you know, certain amount of education is for acquiring some kind of acumen in your skills.
Okay.
And then there is education for education's sake.
Oh, okay.
I think the Brahmin class was meant for that. Their role
Correct.
Was to foster education and
Correct.
To be that repository or that tank which would hold that educational knowledge
Correct.
And share it with the rest.
Correct.
But even in that system, there was very little of, you know, suppose a carpenter would teach his son the skills of being a carpenter.
Correct.
But that was not taught in an education
institution. That's true. That's
right.
True. It might have. It's just a home skill. I
right.
think what you're trying to say is knowledge was different from skill.
Absolutely.
Knowledge was imparted and skill was just passed on from
right.
Father to son.
And this knowledge was kind of, you know, used as a basic something which you would fall back upon for any kind of skill which you would develop.
Correct.
The knowledge was a basic knowledge.
That's true. So the knowledge forms the basis for all the activities in your life. That's true.
So that is why, as you very rightly pointed out, even the Kshatriyas used to go to the Brahmins to learn.
Correct.
Because the basic knowledge, even to rule the country, is the same that the Brahmin and the Vaishya learns.
That's true. The classic example of Krishna and Sudama learning in the same Gurukulam.
The same Gurukulam.
And each one of them, you know, talking in the physical sense, Krishna was the ruler and Sudama remained a poor Brahmin.
Right.
I mean, it's amazing as, you know, when you think of this Gurukulam system and when you think of the way people from all different classes came together, slept on the floor, served the guru in... aren't you reminded of our own hostel? Aren't you reminded of the system Swami has set up here?
Really, absolutely. Because, you know, if you look at the Gurukula system, and if we were to say these are the main cornerstones of that whole system.
Correct.
And you can name a couple of them and you can count them in the fingers of one hand.
Yeah.
One is the respect for the guru.
Correct.
The love for the guru.
Correct.
Okay, and that was the basic thing. And the other thing was equality.
Very true.
In the Gurukula, there is no one who is more special than the other.
That's true.
That was a very, very important aspect of the Gurukula system.
Like when we are students, we really don't know the background from which different students come.
Right.
Because Swami made it such that everybody wears the same uniform.
Right.
And there is no scope for ostentation. There is no scope for showing that somebody is coming from a wealthy background, somebody is coming from a poor background. You know, there's something that comes to my mind.
Mm-hmm.
I had a classmate who joined Swami's institution in the undergraduate.
Okay.
He joined in Vrindavan, when we were in Vrindavan. And since he knew that I was studying in Swami's school as well,
right.
He came to me with a very strange question.
Mm-hmm.
He said, see, the term is over, the semester is over, and I went to the office to pay my hostel fees.
Okay.
And they said, no, it's already been paid.
Mm.
And that happened in the first semester. And so he thought possibly his father has again sent money to the office and he left it. Then again the second semester, when it has happened, he came and asked me, how is this possible? I said, unless Swami is paying for you. So then he found out that his father had actually not sent the money.
Okay.
And in the application form, they were from a very low income family background.
Right.
Since it was, he had written the details in the application form, Swami was paying even his hostel fees. I mean, education is already given free, but even that hostel fees that had to be paid, he was absolutely just moved to tears. And he didn't know, and I was moved to tears. Having studied in Swami's school from class 1 till 12th at that point, in first UG, I didn't know that Swami was actually paying even the hostel fees for many of the students.
Beautiful. And you know, another thing which comes to my mind is one of the school teachers once told us that in the 10th standard, there was a boy who was applying, after 12th standard, there was a boy who was applying for a professional course, medical or something. So he came with the application form to this teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, sir, I have some problem filling this form.
Mm-hmm.
There's one question asked here, an answer to which I never know. I don't know till today.
Okay.
And it was the question, what is your caste?
Oh.
He said, till today I've done all my schooling in Swami's college. I've never been asked this question. I don't know the answer to this question.
How beautiful.
And he said, should I write humanity? Because Swami says you all belong to the caste of humanity.
I mean, that's what we believed in, and staying together in the hostel was really amazing, because really you have no idea of, you're just friends, and that's how Swami always wanted it.
Right. And I think, you know, that was the basis with which Swami brought about this educational system, and he had a very, very clear idea of what he wanted.
Correct.
And when we call this satsang, living with God is true education, that was the true education which Swami wanted to give.
Correct. Very true.
And I still remember when I became a student of Swami, the importance you give for the education here was put in perspective very beautifully by one of my teachers.
Okay.
He said, you have been brought close to Swami through this education.
Oh, okay.
This education has brought you close to Swami. Mm. Pay your respects to the education. Study well.
Ah, beautiful.
And making it sure that, you know, you have this drilled into your head, Swami is the center of your life. And all the others, you only respect because they have brought you close to Swami.
Brought you closer to Swami. That's beautiful. In fact, Swami often says, how Mother Yashoda held the butter in one hand and hid the stick behind. Really, Swami brought this, I would say, worldly education as butter to attract students, to bring all the students into the institute, and he had the stick of Atmavidya.
Right.
That is tough learning. It's not just like butter. And the passion and the involvement with which Swami would give a discourse and speak to the students, one would wonder whether at the end of the discourse, the whole audience would be transformed and be liberated at one stroke. I mean, that's the involvement that Swami would give every discourse. That's really amazing.
And that also was a very important point, because all said and done, you know, whether Swami was addressing the school students or the university students or the alumni, Swami always addressed the seekers.
Correct.
And Swami always delivered his discourse in that flavor.
Correct.
And you know, there always used to be things which were meant for mundane life.
Correct.
And I remember some, you know, we have some recordings of some gems of discourses. Mm-hmm. You know, how much lower can divinity come? And Swami would tell us how you should dress.
Yeah.
And I have heard discourses in thrice sessions where Swami has told why your pillow cover has to be clean, why you have to cut your nails, you know, to that detail. Mm. And as you said, Atmavidya was always the one which Swami was actually here
to give. Yeah.
And that is what, you know, when we were talking about educational systems, now if you look at educational systems, you have universities of excellence, you have institutes of research excellence. They are concentrating on one aspect of education.
Correct.
That is the science and the technology and history and the facts.
Exactly.
That which is, as Swami says, accumulation of knowledge.
Correct.
And Swami says that is not education. That is accumulation of facts is misunderstood to be all that education stands for.
True.
And Swami, and we have a lot of institutes like that. Mm-hmm. And if you talk of art and culture,
yes,
there are universities for that.
And they talk about Rabindranath Tagore's Shantiniketan. And
the Kala Bharati is an institute he set up for arts.
For arts. I mean, the environment that he created, the ambience that he created, and the encouragement, it was perfect, because
I remember one thing which Tagore says. He says the children have to be taught in nature.
Okay.
And that was one of the reasons why he insisted the classroom should be under trees. And he would say that we have taken the earth from under the students to teach them geography.
That's
said,
beautiful.
You have to teach them in nature about nature.
Very true. I mean, there's you spend hours trying to understand how something happens, and you actually see it.
Right.
That explains, and it sticks in your mind. So, what you were mentioning just now, like there are institutes that cater to academic excellence, research, and they have very specific goals for their institutes. And then on the other hand, you have something like Shantiniketan, you have, institutes which foster children with creative interests, music, art, dance, literature, any of those fields. But then, if you actually think of it, Swami has tried to bring these two into one institution, in the institution that he has set up.
And if the other thing I can think of is there are some institutions which lay a lot of emphasis only on discipline.
Okay.
If you look at the military schools,
correct,
the schools established, where they believe that all emphasis should be laid only on discipline.
That's true.
There are colleges which focus on that too.
Hasn't Swami said the discipline should come from the source?
Right.
I mean,
and I think that is the basis of inculcating discipline in Swami's system. And as you said, you know, there are cultural universities, there are educational and scientific universities, and there are also universities of spirituality. You know,
correct,
you have, if you look at some of the very ancient universities in India,
correct,
like the BHU, they have certain departments which still study philosophy,
correct,
study Vedantic philosophy.
Correct.
There are universities abroad which study the Socrates kind of thinking,
correct,
the evolution of philosophy.
Philosophy, yes.
Right. But here was Swami wanting to create an institution which is wide enough to accommodate everybody, not only accommodate everybody, to make sure that everybody can accommodate all this.
Very beautiful.
Swami wanted to give a bit of everything. Swami did not want to create an institution which would be alien, you know, in the current scenario of university system.
Correct.
No, you could have, Swami could have started a typical Gurukula system. We were saying that it's similar to Gurukula. Swami could have said that I'm going to start a Gurukula system where classrooms will be under trees and boys will be wearing ochre clothes. But Swami did not do that. Swami did not want to, if I can say, scare a certain section of the society.
That's true. How many of us would have?
But Swami proved it to us that, you know, in the mainstream educational system, you can inculcate all this.
Very beautiful. Because, you know, if you think of the teachers staying with the students in the hostel, what else it is? It is that Gurukula system. And they are available to you through day and night for, you can go approach them, consult, not only in matters regarding the academic subjects, but you can also go to them and talk to them and have your approach and your attitude cleared in life. I mean, that's really amazing.
Absolutely. And I think Swami made it very, very clear even in that mission statement, what we hold close to us as the mission statement of the university.
Okay.
And you know, even as I was reading it, I was thinking, you know, so many times you take policies, you buy products without reading the terms and conditions.
Exactly. And especially in softwares, I accept.
Right, I accept. Have you read and accepted the agreement? And if we read, we will know that, you know, there are so many loopholes and all that. And now when I read the mission statement, I feel like maybe if I had read it before coming to Swami's college, I would have had a second thought.
Oh, really? Would you like to read it out?
Definitely. I'd like to just read it out quickly.
Okay.
Mission statement is a very, very powerful statement of Swami. Where Swami says, this institute has not been established just to prepare you for earning degrees. The main purpose is to help you cultivate self-knowledge and self-confidence, so that each one of you can learn self-sacrifice and earn self-realization. Teaching you the university curricula, preparing you for the university examinations, and awarding you university degrees, these are only means employed for the end, namely spiritual uplift, self-discovery, and social service through love and detachment. Our hope is that by your lives, you will be shining examples of spiritual awareness and its beneficial consequences to the individual and the society.
Wow.
So Swami is making it absolutely unambiguous that we have set up a university, we are awarding degrees, we are teaching you science and all the regular streams.
Correct.
But our focus, our aim is on self-knowledge.
I mean, just read the statement. The main purpose is to help you cultivate self-knowledge and self-confidence so that each one of you can learn self-sacrifice and earn self-realization. And Swami would often say that these are like the walls of a mansion.
Right.
The foundation is self-confidence. Then you have, and the roof is the self-realization. So you have self-knowledge and self-sacrifice are the walls, and the roof is actually self-realization. And
the last statement also is very beautiful, I feel, you know. Our hope is that by your lives, you will be shining examples of spiritual awareness and its beneficial consequences. You know, I'm reminded of what one of my teachers used to tell, that Swami had told them once that, you know, even as I speak to you now, even as I spend time with you, and Swami himself used to say that once the university came up and the schools came up, Swami spent 70% of his time
with
and for students.
Correct.
And Swami would say that, every moment I spend with you, my eye is on Loka Kalyanam.
Okay.
The benefit the world will have because of this interaction, because of my spending time with you.
I mean, that really speaks volumes of what is the kind of responsibility and I won't say expectation, because you know there's something very beautiful. It was kind of a very emotional statement which Swami made, possibly in one of his last visits to Kodaikanal.
Okay.
I'm not sure whether it's 2009 or the earlier year. Swami was speaking and he says, students, I spend all my time thinking of what I can do for you. What more I can do for you? What more I can do for you? And he mentions the word that I struggle to do everything for you, but I want nothing in return. I have no expectations. I want nothing in return. Once you finish your education here, you go to the world and earn a good name for yourselves. That's all. I want nothing from you all. And that clip is so emotional. I mean, the Swami would sometimes say that there is no selfishness in me from the tip of the hair to the feet. He said, absolutely selfless. We can't even comprehend that.
It's very beautiful. And you know, even as you're saying this, let us say a student is associated with a great university, one of the premier universities in the land or in the world.
Okay.
He will always want to live up to that name.
Correct.
You know, so if it's an academically brilliant university, he would like to excel in his career.
Correct.
So that will be a homage he offers to that university. But here, Swami wanted nothing but goodness.
Correct.
And the only way you can offer any kind of reverence to that name of that university is by expressing that goodness in your life.
Very true.
And I think that sense of belonging was something great which Swami gifted to every student who came here.
Correct. Actually, just going back to his vision, the last line is so beautiful. Our hope is that by your lives, you will be shining examples of spiritual awareness. You know, shining examples of spiritual awareness is a personal endeavor.
Right.
You know, you have to do a personal endeavor to practice the spiritual teachings in your life. And its beneficial consequences to the individual and society. I mean, you lead an exemplary life and the society would look up to you and inculcate those values. At the same time, Swami would often say the head of Shankara,
right,
the heart of Buddha, and the hands of Janaka. So it's not just as an individual, being good as an individual is fine, it's good. But then what is your contribution to the society? There is that famous story of which Vivekananda would often say, Swami Vivekananda would say, you know, somebody went to him. There is a sadhaka, a spiritual seeker, who went up to him and said, see, I harm nobody. You know, and I do my meditation right from morning and I'm doing prayers. I'm doing everything for the sake of the benefit of the world. And I'm involved, I'm silently leading my life and I do my prayers. But I don't feel anybody is respecting me. See, when I walk on the road, when I interact with people, people just look down upon me. They don't respect me. And that is kind of hurting me. Then Swami Vivekananda asked him a very pragmatic and a simple question. He says, where do you live? So he gave his particular address. And he says, you know, there is a narrow street that comes out from the moment you come out from your house in Kolkata, there is a narrow street that comes to the main road. He says, yes. So he says, what is the daily routine of people that live there? So he started telling. Then there came a point where he said, yes, the person who collects the garbage, a person who comes and clears the road, you know, by the time it's morning, everybody puts all the garbage, house garbage in the corner on the road. And like how it happens in Parthi many days. So the municipal people come and they clean away the garbage so that the road is cleared up. So Swami Vivekananda asks him, if that person who is cleaning the garbage does not come for one day, what happens? He says the garbage doubles. And if he doesn't come for 2-3 days, what happens? He says the whole place is stinking. He says, your contribution to society is not even as much as that person who's cleaning the garbage. So you are sitting and praying, you're doing your spiritual endeavor and you're doing, but what is your contribution to society? Unless you contribute to society, how do you expect the society to look up to you? So that really drove. So when Swami says head of Shankara, I think it signifies knowledge. And to get knowledge in the right perspective and the right kind of knowledge and be inspired by, that is Shankara. And Buddha?
Buddha was one who was so compassionate. There are only four scenes he saw in life, which we see every day of our life.
Correct.
But those four scenes transformed him.
That's true.
Made him give up his princely palace.
Correct.
He was so compassionate.
Correct.
Swami says the heart of Buddha.
Heart of Buddha.
That which melts when it sees pain and suffering.
And the hands of Janaka.
Hands of Janaka. I think Swami, I have not heard anybody speak so highly of Janaka as Swami would.
Yes.
Because Janaka was a king. He was an emperor who was so involved in the worldly activities, but still his mind was always fixed in Atmajnan. Swami says. And
that's amazing.
That's what Swami wants. And even if you see these three people, the hands of Janaka, the heart of Buddha, and the head of Shankara, the line which is running through all these three is the self-realization.
Correct.
They're all realized people. So almost Swami is saying that, you know, you be compassionate, but let that compassion be based on the realization of yourself. You be a man of action like Janaka, but let your thought be always fixed on the oneness of the Brahman. You may be an intellectual like Shankara, but let that intellectual learning be based on this wisdom of oneness.
I mean, somebody asked the Dalai Lama, I think, recently. He was up to date with daily happenings. And like how Swami would be as well, you know, some of us... many students who have had the chance of being with Swami in Kodaikanal, or the seniors, elders who are with Swami.
Right.
Many times he would ask the questions about what's happening in the country, and he would participate in discussions based on... So that awareness of society, that awareness of what's happening in the country and in the world is very much important. So they asked the Dalai Lama, like, see, you say that, you know, you are a spiritual master. Then why are you interested in all these worldly affairs? And why are you interested? He says, being detached from the world is very important. I am detached from the world. That does not mean I am not interested in the world. How beautiful.
And Swami says there's a clear difference between detachment and indifference.
Exactly. Exactly. Being indifference is not right. So, being the world... Know about the world, do your best to help and be exemplary.
Right. And even if you, I'm going back to that example of Vivekananda's advice to that young man.
Yes.
It's quite similar to what Hanuman tells Vibhishana.
Yes.
When he goes to the, when he goes to Lanka.
Correct.
There he meets this pious, surprisingly pious brother of the evil Ravana. And Vibhishana says that, see, I keep chanting Rama's name all the while I meditate, I contemplate on him.
Correct.
But why am I not...
A part of
you know, part of Rama's army, I mean, part of his mission.
Correct.
So then Hanuman says that you've taken the name of Rama, but have you done the work of Rama?
Very true. Very true.
And that is precisely what Vivekananda is telling here. You know, we all take to spirituality, but are we doing God's work?
Correct.
And I think that's what Swami made us all do. You know, you do the work, but do it for Him.
For Him. That's the beautiful part. Like, if he really wanted to set up an institution where people would wear rocker robes and do spiritual sadhana all through the day, nothing stopped him from doing that. But then, as you said, it would cater to only one section of the society, and it would not encompass, it would not invite all the students. Like, there's a standard, the beautiful example of Adi Shankara's disciple Padmapada.
Right.
I mean, what is knowledge when you talk of the Guru, when you talk of Guru himself, with one glance he can grant it to you. The whole symbolism of Lord Dakshinamurti is that with a smile, in absolute silence, the master is in his prime youth and his disciples are old sages. I mean, with years and decades of living and experience, they are still having doubts, and they approach the master who is ever youthful, Lord Dakshinamurti, and with a smile, with a glance, he answers their questions. So, I mean, knowledge as such can just be granted in the split of a second.
Absolutely.
If the guru wants.
You know, it just takes me back to that one incident Rangarajan narrated in his talk in the mandir. Where he says there was one boy who came to Swami's university and he was a true seeker.
Okay.
You know, he came to Swami's university because he wanted to attain something, you know, in the spiritual realm. So ever since he joined, he would go around asking everybody, how do I get self-realized?
Okay.
And the beautiful thing about Swami's presence, you know, the institution Swami is built around, is there might be so many people who are actually progressing towards that goal even without their own knowledge.
That's very true.
And so he didn't really find anybody who could tell him concretely, yes, I've attained it. You can do this.
Correct.
Because everybody is just doing what Swami has given them.
Correct.
And they know that they will reach the goal at some point in time. So this boy was wondering, you know, whom to ask. And it so happened that one day in the mandir, and you know the decorum in the mandir, we cannot get up and speak to Swami unless Swami permits.
Correct.
And you cannot speak loudly. And there are so many other things which You know, it's not forced, but you just learn it by spending some time there. But this boy was so, eager and restless.
Mm-hmm.
When Swami was going past, he literally got up and he said, "Swami, I want self-realization."
Okay.
He shouted out loud.
Mm.
And everybody was shocked and they were, wondering how to handle the situation.
Mm-hmm.
And Swami turned back and very, very firmly said, "I will give you." Because here was a God who had the authority to say that, "I will give you self-realization."
Amazing, amazing.
And I think he had the key in his hand. So he actually, that was a beautiful thing and reminded of how, in the initial days, before the university came into being, when the college at Vrindavan was affiliated to the
Bangalore University.
And the one here at Parthi was affiliated to the, Krishnadevaraya University in Anantapur.
Correct.
And so similarly the Anantapur campus.
Correct.
In those days, actually the college was not free.
Okay.
The education here was not free. There was a very nominal fee which was being collected.
Okay.
And then the university staff once, one of the university staff described to me the day when Swami literally burst out of the interview room and declared with so much glee that henceforth education will be free in our college.
Oh. You think possibly that's after the university came into
existence? Yeah, maybe. I think just when Swami was, the transformation was happening,
okay.
It must have been around that time.
Okay.
So Swami very happily, broke out and said, henceforth education will be free in our college.
Wow.
And the next thing Swami addressed was, Swami looked at all the staff and said, "Don't worry, I will not take free service from you. I will pay you your salary."
That's
because I'm sure that there might have been some people who are concerned about that.
Mm.
Because there are people who want to serve Swami, but needs. They have you have to take care of them also. So immediately Swami said, "Don't worry, I will pay you salaries. It's not like I'm going to take free service from you."
Okay.
And then Swami said this very, very important thing.
Mm-hmm.
The very essence of free education, which Swami started.
Okay.
And Swami said, "If we take money from them, we have to give them what they want.
Ooh.
If we give it free, we can give them what is supposed to be given to them."
Wow. But that's so true, because if you think of it, how many of us know what we actually want?
Absolutely.
Do we actually know what we want? And in this entire life, which is actually a pursuit of happiness, we think that a certain amount of knowledge is what is going to give me lasting happiness. We think that doing a creative, something in music, something in art is what is going to give me everlasting happiness. But we really don't know this. And it's like a mother feeding, just doing what's good for the child. So beautiful. It's really amazing.
Absolutely. And, that apart, that Swami was a spiritual teacher in essence.
Mm-hmm.
But as an institution builder.
Correct.
I think he had so many lessons which he was giving to the humanity.
Correct.
In fact, I'm reminded when Swami inaugurated the Arts and Science College in Vrindavan.
Mm-hmm.
Professor Gokak, who later became the first Vice Chancellor of the university, he was the Vice Chancellor of the Bangalore University then.
Okay.
So he was invited as one of the guests.
Correct.
And when he spoke, I just noted down that sentence which he says.
Mm-hmm.
He says, brick by brick, plank by plank, Swami has attended to every detail.
Wow.
It is a lesson for all who seek to do sincere loving service.
Really amazing. When I spoke to certain old devotees who were actually present when the Anantapur College was being built, they say it's just amazing and you cannot imagine the amount of involvement that Swami had when the Anantapur College was being built. He would literally drive down from Parthi every day and go there, and the roads I don't think were as good as they are today. And today it takes about 2 hours by bus if you want to. If Swami's car, think of it as 2 hours in those days with bad roads and all that. And as the opening date came in, Swami started staying there.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was literally supervising it brick by brick. And some of the devotees were recalling how there was nothing available in Anantapur. Nothing. They had to get plates, tumblers for the children, for the students when they would join. Every item had to be got from either Madras or Bangalore or even Mumbai. It had to be flown in from Mumbai. And there is a great lesson in this. Krishna always says, "Name parthasti kartavyam trishu lokeshu kinchana nanam aptam amaptavyam vartte vache karmani." That means, in all the three worlds put together, I have no task that I need to perform. I am not bound by any action. I am not bound by any karma. But yet I perform action. Yet I do what I do, so that men learn from this example. And his involvement was so complete, to the detail, to the last detail. And I remember they were mentioning how the auditorium was built, but nowhere around they could get a curtain that was as big to fit the auditorium. So especially, it was, the cloth was ordered from Mumbai. The tailors were flown in from Mumbai. They came and they did the measurements and fixing the curtain. His involvement was so complete that how the curtain would open, in what way it would open up. And then, you know, one of those rare occasions, much later, a couple of years back, we had actually gone to the Anantapur campus to document the opening of a new new section there. And we got the chance to actually visit Swami's room.
Okay.
It is actually in the college building.
Mm-hmm.
Swami's room is in the college building. And there is a very beautiful balcony. And we were told that Swami would stand on that balcony and he would wave to the students and devotees as they would go in the Nagar Sankirtan. So we all were naturally very eager to see Swami's room. And when we actually went there, I was in tears, because even the entrance into Swami's room was so small, and Swami, with Swami's physical stature, he was quite short. But even he had to bend in and get into the room. And there were just two small rooms, very small rooms. In the first room, there was a table on which there was a pad. In fact, they still had the pen and the pad which Swami had used, letterhead which Swami had used. And in the next room, there was a bed for Swami. That's it. And the teachers were saying that he would never be in the room. Only at night he would be in the room. Because most of the time he was just going round and round. And seeing the simplicity of the whole thing was just amazing. He he was never fussy about what are the arrangements made for me, where will I stay, what will I have, eat. Because he really never sustained, he never got his energy from the food, that everybody knows. Every step is an example. Every step is an example.
Really, even as you talk about the details, surprisingly, this morning we had a conversation about the planetarium, how it came up, and even there this was emphasized, you know, how much Swami went into the detail of what software has to be bought, what system has to be bought.
Okay.
And you know, once, I think you must be aware, we spoke to Venkatachalam sir of the hostel, senior boys hostel.
Mm-hmm.
And when he was taken to the hostel as an employee, Swami took him to take care of the 8th standard boys.
Okay.
Because as we had discussed last time, mm-hmm. the hostel started with the 8th standard and went on till
the research
college.
Correct.
And these 8th standard boys came from the care of the primary school.
Correct.
And landed up in the hostel. So Swami wanted somebody who would take care only of the 8th standard class to help them in their transition.
Oh.
So he said the day when Swami told him to join the hostel, in the ladies section of the mandir, Swami was just going, walking for darshan. Swami called, sir, and for 45 minutes, Swami stood there and spoke to him. And he said anybody else who had seen that scene might have thought that Swami is giving some great revelation of some Upanishad or some great spiritual discourse there. Mm-hmm. But Swami was telling him about the towels, about the socks, how many times the towel has to be washed in a month, about the bed sheets, the pillow covers,
amazing.
And what food has to be given, about cutting their hair. You know, that was Swami's involvement.
Just amazing. Swami is the chancellor of the university, and as you were mentioning, what is the role of a chancellor in a university? You were mentioning?
Right, you know, when we had the 25th year of the university, we were making the commemorative building, which still stands there as part of the indoor stadium.
Correct.
Another amazing thing which Swami has given to to students. That time we thought of making short documentaries on each aspect of the university.
Correct.
So we thought we will have one documentary which talks of Swami as the chancellor.
Okay.
There was one about the sports meet, the one about Swami and students' relationship.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted one about Swami as the chancellor.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we went to the registrar of the university and we asked him, sir, what is the legal role of a chancellor in a university? Okay, we wanted that, you know, okay. What does the UGC say that this is the role the Chancellor has to play?
Okay.
So he went to the University Grants Commission website and he downloaded it. It was only one sentence. And it said, the Chancellor is a ceremonial head who, if present, would preside over the convocation. And you know, we were so moved by it, and you know, we just beside the registrar's block there is a chancellor's room.
Yes.
You know, in the administrative block of the university.
Correct.
And you know, we were so thrilled, we went and shot that empty room. And in the documentary, I still remember, we said, this is the chancellor's room, and this is that wonderful throne of his placed there. And the beautiful thing is, it's empty throughout the year.
That's true.
And the next scene we showed, Swami is there with the students, because this chancellor would never sit in his chamber. He would always move around with the students, and I think, as you know, Swami just redefined that.
Correct. He just redefined that role. I think, as per the government, mostly the governors are chancellors of the universities. This is really amazing. I mean, so I would say, as we were discussing in the beginning of this conversation, there have been institutes, there have been universities, you know, set up for excellence in a particular field. But Swami brought all that together, and the driving force was love.
Absolutely.
And is love.
And I think that's a totally new dimension, and that is why many, many committees have come and they've spoken about, you know, recreating this structure, recreating this institution.
Correct.
And I remember when we had the Vice-Chancellor's Conference, one of the Vice-Chancellors who spoke, you know, very, very clearly, he said that we cannot create a university like this.
Correct.
Okay. And then he went on to say, Swami, but we can do it under one condition. He said, if you were to create 200
Swamis,
and if there was one Swami for each university, we can create universities like this.
That's true in a sense. That's true in a sense.
And so, Sir Prakash, we'll take a break in this, because you spoke of love and you spoke of how that is what transformed this whole setup.
Correct.
So before we get into that discussion, I'd just like to take a break and play one song from Prema Pravaham.
Oh, lovely.
That beautiful song which celebrates Swami as the Guru.
Oh, fantastic.
I'd like to play the song, and at the other side of the song, we'll continue this wonderful discussion.
Sure.
పండించగా భేదాల పోచి మానవతను వందించగా.
Yes, Rakesh, as you pointed out, it's not the guru song of Prema Pravaham.
Yeah, there's a beautiful song, Guru Brahmanive. And, you know, as this is a part of the Prema Pravaham series. And when it was actually presented on the 85th birthday in the Helios Stadium, when the Alap was being sung, Swami was very moved. And you could see how Swami was totally involved. Whatever said and done, you know, the education institutions have been something closest to his heart.
Absolutely.
And Guru Brahma Nive Param Jyoti Nive. So, it's very beautiful. And that song also brings out a lot of aspects of... But this song nevertheless gives Swami all his missions. It gives an outline of all his missions. This was the first song of the series. So, getting back to where we had stopped, I think, as you said, his involvement in every aspect of building the university or the institutions, literally brick by brick, had so many lessons for each and every one of us. That, you know, this is the way, as you said, Gokak sir rightly said, if anybody wants to build an institution, this is how it has to be.
And that is true, you know, every institution which is... stood the test of time was built around one person who was completely inspired.
Correct.
And was stuck to his principles.
Correct.
And you know, talking of the love aspect of mm-hmm. Swami's institution, I'm reminded of what one of the school teachers had to say.
Mm-hmm.
A very interesting episode which happened. Mm-hmm. You know, you have these board exams, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's the rule that CBSE has said that you should have external examiners.
Correct.
When students write board exams. Correct. Either you go to a different school and write your exam,
mm-hmm.
or you have an external examiner. And because there were no CBSE schools nearby, the mm-hmm. CBSE had granted the permission that you can have certified examiners who will come and oversee the examinations.
Invigilate
yeah. as the students give the exams.
Correct.
So it so happened that there was one very strict examiner who came.
Okay.
And he literally hawk-eyed. He wanted to mm-hmm. make sure that nobody was indulging any malpractice.
Mm-hmm.
But when he came here, he was totally surprised because the students were hardly even tensed.
Correct.
and nobody was even inclined to see what the other boy was writing or wanting some help from. Okay. And in fact, that examiner had even been through schools where the school authorities themselves would try to influence the examiner, the invigilator and all. Mm-hmm. But here he found that, you know, there was no need for an examiner. He could actually as well walk up. So even as he was walking by the students' desks and they were writing exam, he told one of the boys, "You all boys seem to be very well-mannered and, you know, it looks like all of you are very God-fearing people." And immediately the boy looked up and said, "No, sir, one small correction. We are God-loving people."
Wow.
And I think that is what Swami brought into the whole system. When Swami says, Deva Priti, Papa Bhiti and Sanghaniti, Swami said Deva Priti first. That love for God will create fear of sin. And that sin is actually losing the love of, you know, losing or displeasing God.
Displeasing.
In Sanghaniti also you do it because this pleases
Lord. How beautiful, you know, talking of exams and talking of Swami and sir, very beautiful, you know, memory comes to my mind. When we were in our 10th standard, so, you know, that's the year of the board exam.
Right.
And so, yes, we were studying, we were working hard, doing pre-finals and all that was going on. But what was really in our hearts was that Swami should give us an interview as a class. And so we were wondering how to catch Swami's attention. We tried sending letters, we tried asking, but somehow Swami was not responding to that. And just a common thought amongst everybody that, you know, what is it that Swami likes the most?
Okay.
Two things, as I mentioned even in, I think, the previous Thursday, two things which Swami really liked, would often say is, talk less, have less contacts.
Absolutely.
And for us in school, that was directly translated into keeping silence or keeping maunam, as we would call it. And we all thought, when Swami has been harping on this and insisting that these are the two things, let us try it out as a class. And you won't believe it, it was a spontaneous decision. And the whole class kept absolute silence on that day. They kept maunam. It was a Tuesday, I remember. And surprisingly enough, you know, generally between at the end of one period and when the next, after the bell, there's a lot of commotion in the class. Students are relaxing and all that. And when the next teacher comes again, the noise settles down. But since everybody was keeping silence, the class was absolutely silent. And nobody moved out from their chair. And surprisingly enough, every teacher who entered the classroom that day was so inspired. We had Parayanam literally throughout the day. Every teacher came and he was so inspired and he spoke about Swami. It was such a beautiful thing. And sure enough, none of us had written any letters to Swami saying that, "Swami, we have decided to do this," because it was a decision just the previous night. And the next day everybody was silent. Swami mentioned it to one of the teachers who stayed, who was staying with Swami there in the Punichandra hall. Swami came and told, "See, my 10th class boys, all of them have kept silence today." And it just touched Swami's heart. And sure enough, we got that most awaited interview. And it was a very beautiful thing because, you know, I remember Swami, previous day Swami said, "See, tomorrow morning I will come little early. So all of you also come little early." Obviously, he's coming early because he wants to spend more time with us. I think it would, you know, he generally he would come 7:15, 7:20 for darshan.
Right,
those days. But this Swami came out at 6:35 or 6:40. And it was still dark at that time. It was still dark and we could hear the birds chirping. And I can see even all the lights on the veranda are not on. I'm trying to get the mental picture. This was way back in 93. And it was still, you know, then you had just a few chandeliers on and Swami came for darshan and very quickly finished the darshan, completed giving darshan. And then as he came to the, and stood near the interview room, he said, "Boys, go in." And we all had decided that, you know, generally when Swami calls students, they rush and they push and they hit the interview room door and sometimes, you know, and it's not very pleasant to look at.
Okay.
So we thought, let us not rush. Let us go in, you know, in the attendance register, the way our names are. Mm-hmm. So let us go in a disciplined manner. After all, that's what Swami likes.
Mm-hmm.
So since it was a unanimous decision and everybody agreed wholeheartedly,
mm-hmm.
Swami was so thrilled. You know, he was standing there and he was patting each one's back. Go, Ra, go, go, go. He was standing and patting each one's back. Then we went inside and then I remember very clearly, it was still very calm in the morning time. Swami asked the first question, what is the purpose of life?
My God.
What is the purpose of life?
Okay.
And the person who was translating, one of the school teachers, was, you know, fully excited and very happy. And he asked the question very loud. Swami said, hey, don't speak so loudly. Soft, soft, speak soft. All are in this small room. Then he went on to very beautifully explain what is the purpose of life for a 10th class student. And then, you know, in the course of the interview, somebody had brought this groundnut pakodas.
Mm-hmm.
And Swami took this. What is this pakoda? What is it made up of? Swami, this salt also, this also, that also. Swami was telling all the ingredients. Just held it in his fist and blew it 3 times.
Mm-hmm.
And then it became the Kohinoor diamond.
Wow.
And it became the Kohinoor diamond. And then Swami showed it to everybody. Mm-hmm. Said, see, this is a Kohinoor diamond. Worth lakhs and lakhs and lakhs and lakhs of rupees. But obviously we all were, you know, totally spellbound, but we were looking at Swami and he went around showing it to everybody. Then again he blew it back and made it pakoda. And then he gave it to all, distributed that Kohinoor pakoda, if I were to call it. But what I'm trying to drive here is, you know, that every act of the students, everything came from the source that we wanted to please Swami. Be it academic excellence, be it sports, be it cultural activities, be it spiritual way of life, anything you take, students always did it to please Swami.
You know, talking of doing things to please Swami, reminded of an incident where one of the alumnus mm-hmm. shared with us.
Mm-hmm.
He had joined for the MBA course and mm-hmm. you know, apparently he was not the academic kind.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. So I think some of his teachers came and told Swami that, Swami, this boy is not studying well enough.
Mm-hmm.
And Swami called this boy inside the interview room one day.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, how much marks did you get?
Mm.
So then he said, Swami, I told you I'm not interested in studies. You wanted me to do an MBA. Apparently that's what happened.
Mm.
So he said, I'm not interested in studies, Swami. I'm not able to get better marks than this. And Swami suddenly became very quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And Swami asked him, will you do one thing for me?
Mm.
If I ask you, will you give me one thing? So the boy felt very moved and, you know, he felt, why should Swami ask like this?
Mm.
He said, Swami, command, I will do anything for you.
Correct.
And Swami said, see, I always say, I don't want marks.
Mm.
I only just make sure that you don't get remarks.
Correct.
That's what Swami used to always say. Swami said, I always say that way.
Mm.
But for once, I'm telling you, I want marks.
Okay.
Swami said, I want marks. Will you give me marks?
Wow.
And you know, that boy with all that confidence, he said, Swami, you see my marks next semester.
Wow.
And needless to say, he outperformed himself.
Okay.
And Swami was the first person who was so thrilled. Even before the results were released for the students, you know, Swami used to go through the results. That is another thing. Every time the results come, the controller of examinations used to go to Swami.
Mm.
And unless Swami goes through them and gives him the permission to release them, he never used to release. Till the very end, that used to be the practice. And you know, Swami came out and very, very happily announced that this boy has done so well in his exams. In fact, Swami went around telling that he has got first rank. That's how Swami was. How happy Swami was.
I mean, that looks like the chancellor side of Swami actually prodding this. But that was true in every aspect. He would always prod the students to excel in any field. I mean, just think of the whole situation when Swami had 3 colleges. And he wanted to start a university. It's an incident of common knowledge that, you know, when in the discourse Swami was announcing and the person who was translating Swami's discourse was himself a distinguished scientist and head of an education institution, research
Bhagwantam
institution. Dr. Bhagwantam was there. And Swami said, I'm going to start a university. So he said, Swami, he announced it, translated it as a college. Swami said, no, university.
And you know, talking about that, one of my classmates, his father was a collector in those days in one of the districts nearby. So he was brought to Swami by a devotee, another collector. He had apparently brought him and introduced him to Swami. That was the first visit, and Swami had called them for an interview. And that was a time when Swami was contemplating this university idea. And so everybody who would come, Swami would excitedly tell that, I'm going to create a university, three campus university. So Swami went on to tell that even to this person. And then this person said, no Swami, that's not possible. And he quoted some rules of the UGC then, and he said, it's not possible that you can have a university. There were some technical glitches in there. He said, there's no way that you can make a university. And Swami kind of, you know, crestfallen, Swami said, is it so? And Swami said, but I've already thought of it. What do we do now? It's already occurred to me. And I think it's history that, you know, today, even that person, he still comes. This collector who, you know, told Swami that it's not possible, he still comes as a devotee and he sits in the mandir. Swami said, I've already thought about it. It's occurred to me.
It's just his will. That's it.
Swami says, Vajra Sankalpa, what can I do? It has occurred to me. You will have to change all the rules now.
That's true. Because Swami said, you know, the difference between an avatar and others, like suppose we get an idea, then we have to think whether it's possible, not possible. For God, it's instantaneous. The moment the sankalpa is made, it is done. Rest of it is he just involves in getting it done. I mean, something like that.
And of course, one of the common things which we always discuss about is music.
Correct.
You know, where Swami, the main reward was to sing in front of Swami.
That's true.
And I think so many people discovered that they could sing, they had talents in music.
Correct.
In the desire to please Swami in that.
Very true.
And like, I think you yourself might be one good example
of
that.
I mentioned last time about learning harmonium.
Right.
Literally struggled and just with one aim in mind that someday I should be able to play in Swami's presence. And Swami always rewards. Swami always rewards every single. You know, there is this most, I would say, like a signature song of the education institutions, Humko Tumse Pyar Kitna.
Right.
And it was the song, I believe, was composed. I was in my 10th class in about 93 or so. And due to some unfortunate events that happened in the ashram, the students were actually looked down upon by the entire world. And the student community, in fact, I remember we were told that you should always move out in groups. It was an announcement in the hostel, don't go out one or two boys together. So, such a situation, you know, everybody's heart was like, Swami, we really love you, Swami. We love you. And, you know, with all those feelings put together, this song was written, Humko Tumse Pyar Kitna. And ever since, whenever it's sung, it echoes the feelings of everybody. You know, Swami would, I remember certain, when this song would be sung sometimes, he would stand on the veranda and with his finger indicate, Kitna love, itna love, itna love, itna love. But there was something very interesting I heard from one of the teachers who was involved in actually tuning the song. It was almost like on the fly tuning.
Okay.
Kind of, because they had to call the students, they had to teach the song and it had to be sung in a couple of days. So it was almost like, okay, this song, these are the lines, okay, this is the tune, move, let's go. And let us teach the students. So, in that, the first line, Humko Tumse Pyar Kitna, when they actually sang
meaning
it,
is, how much love we have for you.
How much love we have. Swami said, that is not correct. That is a question. If there is a question, there is a doubt. It should be, Humko Tumse Pyar Itna. Humko Tumse Pyar Itna.
Means, this much love we have
this
for you.
This much. Sai Tumhi Jante.
Only you alone know
how much love we have for you. Isn't that amazing?
It's a lovely song. And I think it's a good time to play that song too.
Okay.
We will play that song. Lovely. And there are so many things which would follow from this song, I feel. So we'll continue after this song.
Sure.
Sun lo dil ki pukar. Sun lo
Wonderful song.
Very
and, I know how many times you've sung in front of me. I still remember, you know, when we were having our gratitude program.
Okay.
We kept this as our last song.
Mm-hmm.
The moment the song was sung, Swami said, our program has come to an end. It is almost like nothing is complete without singing this song.
How beautiful. It was the feelings of all the students. And the day, you know, that moment is, I cannot remove it from my memory, because when actually Swami left us physically, and on that day when these songs were being sung,
Oh my God, even just thinking of it, I have tears in my eyes, like the intensity with which, it was almost like a language with which we spoke to Swami. This was our language, it was the language of the heart. I mean, these songs are very, very powerful.
I still remember, you know, whenever we sang these songs, saying that Swami, we cannot live without you,
mm-hmm.
we cannot be without you,
mm-hmm.
Swami acknowledged it.
Correct.
You know, if we were not true with these feelings, you mm-hmm. know, we all have our own drawbacks.
Mm-hmm.
But if there was no truth in these feelings, mm-hmm. Swami would not have acknowledged it.
Correct.
Swami would have outright said that, you know, natakam, or you're trying to lie. Swami acknowledged it. And, you know, on that day when we were singing these songs,
mm-hmm.
and the thought was coming that, Swami, we are still alive. If we really meant what we sang, we're still alive. And I thought that, it can only mean that you have not left us.
That's very beautifully put. That's true. Neeru leni majivanam, neeru leni chepa vedanam. It's like the fish outside water.
Out of water.
What words, and they're really the most powerful songs. So getting back to what we were discussing, I mean, this is one area, music. There is sports. There is education. And there was a reward for everything that the students did. And Swami would always, you know, push it a little bit and see what comes out. There's a very humorous thing that comes to my mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, on those days, it was top secret. So the teachers and the wardens of different campuses would come and Swami would call them separately, privately, and they would discuss with Swami what are the items they were preparing for the sports meet.
Okay.
And this was top secret, and I think in many cases even the vice chancellor did not know. So each campus had a one-to-one with Swami, and Swami would kind of bless the events, and then they would go back and practice and come for the final day. So on one of those days, I remember it was in my school days, so we had teachers and the warden from the Brindavan campus who went into the interview. They had a long interview, was possibly an hour or so. And there was a lot of talking going around outside. We were thinking, oh, they are discussing about sports meet. What items they would be doing. You know, because there is this daredevilry. You have the bikes. You have every item students excel themselves. Because they are offering it to Swami. And that hesitation, that fear is not there. Because, you know, Swami will take care. But on that particular occasion, so after the interview was over, so it was supposed to be all a hush-hush and very secretive. First thing Swami came out, boys, do you know what Vrindavan boys are doing? You should have seen the teachers, or Vrindavan teachers. They said, Swami, just now you agreed you want tell that kind of a look. Swami, you just now agreed you won't tell anybody. But how beautiful. There's a lesson in everything but that Swami does. Swami said, see, I'll tell you what they're doing. You know, they are going to come in helicopter. The boys are going to come in helicopter. From the helicopter, they will come landing.
Mm-hmm.
And they will land near the Hanuman statue. I don't think the Hanuman statue was there at the time. So
okay.
Swami is saying they land on top of the hill. And from there, they will come climbing down the mountain. They will show mountaineering. That hill climbing. Hill climbing they will show and they'll come climbing down the hill and all that. So we are thinking, wow, from where they are getting helicopters and how they are going to do that, and we all were imagining. So finally what actually turned out on that day was boys wanted to demonstrate different aspects of hill climbing.
Okay.
So that was the actual program and that's what actually happened on January 11th. But Swami brought in all the helicopter bit and Swami brought in a lot of other things just to inspire the party campus. It says, what are you people doing? You know, and the sports meet is so beautiful because he is the confident before the actual program and every campus goes and takes his blessings. He knows everything and yet he comes for every practice session with so much of interest and involvement as if he's seeing it for the first time. Then again on the final day, he is the host. He is the host and the chief guest. I mean, how many roles? Talking about sports meet, you know, like I was mentioning that Swami always pushes
right.
Each one to. This year was 99,
mm-hmm.
and we were in our third year undergraduate.
Okay.
And in Vrindavan campus. And Swami was actually that year saying, let us not have a sports meet.
Right. The 99 sports meet was that unfortunate exactly. time when Swami fell while
very
coming
true.
On the chariot.
See, what actually happened on January 11th was that Swami was coming on the chariot, standing and giving, and it just happened so quick because we were standing at, we were all standing ready for the march past to begin. Suddenly, there was a shake in the chariot, and Swami had fallen down in the chariot. But in an instant, he was up again.
Mm.
And seeing his smiling face, seeing him blessing, everybody thought it was fine. There's nothing wrong. But you know, in between the programs, Swami would often go to the restroom and come back, which he had never done before. And he, in spite of that, came down and took photographs with all the students that year. Later on the Shankaranti day, he had Warden Sir announce, and then Swami himself spoke about it. He said there was a deep cut in his leg and he was going into, and he said that if he had not taken it upon himself, there would have been a very disastrous consequence on some right. of the students' lives for on that event. So Swami had specifically said, don't do items which involved a lot of
daredevilry
and lot of risk. So yes, the items were a bit toned down on that year, and we were wondering what we should do.
Mm-hmm.
So then myself and a couple of us who were very good in, you know, art and painting,
mm-hmm.
we decided let us do something which is grand and big. Although we didn't really have much time, we started on a huge project where there is a scene of the Gita Upadesham, and Krishna is giving the Gita Upadesha to Arjuna, and it was connected in a way to the program and the presentation. And in the cosmos, we actually painted Lord Vishnu.
Okay.
Lord Vishnu in the cosmic form.
Mm-hmm.
And this painting was particularly hard to do because it was 18 feet by 18 feet.
Mm-hmm.
It was divided into 8 by 4, the standard size of the cardboard. And we didn't even have place to put the entire thing together to see how it looked. So we were putting 4 planks together, painting that portion on it, then adding 4 more planks. And really we did a lot of hard work.
Mm-hmm.
It was really bending backwards. And because only 2 of us were... Actually, myself and Madhusudan Rao Naidu, we were the only 2 who were doing the main artwork. There okay. were others who were helping us. 18 feet by 18 feet is not small.
Right.
And this was oil painting. So we really bent backwards. But nevertheless, you know, when it finally came to Parthi, somebody suggested, you know, there is Lord Vishnu, there is Gita Upadesham, but what is unique? Unless you indicate that it has a link with Swami. So, In a very mild way, I had given an outline of Swami
okay.
in the heart of the cosmic Vishnu.
Mm-hmm.
And very beautifully, the picture that was selected, Swami is looking directly at Arjuna from there.
Mm-hmm.
And we thought it would just go unnoticed. But it is there.
Mm.
But the first thing Swami noticed on the stage, he went and told the VIPs and others, see, Swami is also there. And so it was a very beautiful thing. It came out well, and then finally it was shifted to the Kulwant Hall, and where there is the Rama Lakshmana Sita statue right now, right opposite the Samadhi as of today.
Mm-hmm.
There the whole thing was made to stand. It was 18 feet by 18 feet. We brought the L&T structures and made this whole painting stand there. So there was this one day when the Parthi campus boys had gone to the college and Vrindavan campus boys remained because they would go in the afternoon. So that day morning, Darshan Swami came, stood on the veranda, and he saw this painting through the gap. You know, there was that arch where Ganesha was
right.
kept. I'm not sure whether the Ganesha statue was there at that time, 99. I think
it was there. By 99, I think.
It was there? Okay.
Right.
I don't remember. But standing there on the veranda, he was seeing through that arch and looking at this painting, and he said, it has come out very well. It has come out very nicely. Who are the boys who did it? Then the warden sir looked around, and we were nearby, myself and Madhusudan. So Swami said, Swami, these are the boys who did it. Swami said, I know. Then Swami said something which was so, you know, I mean, it's just like echoing our feelings. Swami said, only I know how much they have worked. I know how difficult it is. Only I know how much they have worked hard. And they also want that Swami should be happy. They have done it only for Swami. That's all. They don't want anything else from them. When we heard that, it just moved to tears. I mean, how beautifully Swami presented. Only I know. And in every aspect, I would say, Swami has proven that even when we joined Radio Sai, and Swami says, that is not a work which everybody can do. It's like somebody who knows what the work is, who is sitting with you and actually going through with you. That's the kind of confidence, and that's the kind of feeling that Swami knows everything that you have done, and there is a reward for every action that you do for. So that's that love, that spontaneity which we did for Swami, I mean, that is the essence of all education here.
And you're talking about Swami knows what you're going through.
Correct.
One thing is Swami set up this situation and, you know, the whole structure where one could express his love for Swami. But all through, as Swami, you know, pointed out in his vision statement, his goal was self-knowledge.
Correct.
And he never, you know, missed an opportunity to push that.
Very
examples
true.
Of that. And many, many occasions, you know, Gangadhar Shastri, sir, Dr. Gangadhar Shastri, who is a head of the political science department in the university, he used to say, in the earlier days, before the university came up, they used to have classes in the Isharama school.
Yes.
And he says that one day when he was taking a class, Swami walked in. And he was teaching about liberty. It's a very popular concept in political science. He was talking about liberty. Swami just attended that class for a while.
Okay.
And then Swami said, it's nice, you're taking class nicely. He said, even as you teach liberty, also teach about liberation.
Wow.
Swami walked out.
Amazing.
And I think that was always, you know, Swami pushed that. And the other thing that Swami did was, Swami gifted his students faith. I feel that was something which he did, and that was one of the greatest gifts Swami gave.
Correct.
And talking of that, you know, I'm reminded of one of the alumni shared with us, Mr. Bharat Dutt, when we had a conversation with him. He said, though his parents were very devoted to Swami and they were very keen that he study here, he was also wanting to study in Swami's college. And he loved to be in Swami's presence. But somewhere in the back of his mind, he thought, all said and done, can Swami be God? Can you look at Swami as God? So, you know, this was kind of nagging him, but he never shared it with anybody. So he said, one day Swami called his entire family for an interview. And at the end of the interview, Swami asked his parents to go and told him to stay. So he stayed back. He was happy for that opportunity. And Swami point blank told him, "Tum sochta hai, Swami God nahi." In his typical Hindi. So he said, you think that Swami is not God. And immediately he said, no, no, Swami, it's nothing like that. I don't think like that. No, you don't have the faith that I'm God. Swami said. Okay, and then Swami asked him about some incident which happened during his school days before he came to Swami. And some particular date, and Swami gave the references. And he said, no, Swami, I must have been in the school or something like that. And that time, Swami materialized a picture of him standing behind a bush and smoking. He just wanted to try it out. He and his friend. And he said that was the moment. You know, when he realized, because when a situation like that happens, the first thing which happens to you is you recollect all the beautiful things, beautiful interactions you had before that.
Correct.
And that moment when you know that here is a person who knows all your flaws, who knows you in and out.
Correct.
But still can love you for everything.
Wow.
You know, he said that was the moment when he said, and that I feel Swami has given to almost every student who comes here. At some point, some people might not be when they were students, but some point I think that is the greatest gift Swami gave. And as Swami said, you know, that self-confidence comes out of that faith.
Correct.
And that forms the basis for everything to follow.
Self-confidence, he would say, is confidence in the self.
In the self.
He say you don't identify yourself with the body, you are the self. So confidence in the self is what is self-confidence.
Oh,
beautiful. I mean, and so, you know, just thinking of our school days and thinking of all the things that happened, Swami has always said that students are my property. And he has given so much to his students. Sometimes we wonder whether are we really living up to it. But then again, it's time. And when the time is right, I think Swami will just turn that key in the heart of every student, and possibly they would be even leaders of this nation. Like Swami has often said, we all know about the 1976 when Swami materialized the medallion. And then Swami said 18 centers. I mean, it's not without reason. It's bound to happen. It will happen. You know, thinking about this, I'm just reminded of something which happened in Kodaikanal. That faith, you know, you were talking about faith. And Swami, every discourse of his, he always brought in patriotism.
Right.
He was always saying that you should be a patriotic person, you should love your country, four matas, that Swami says. No, this is a kind of an incident which happened in 99 when we were in Kodaikanal, and Swami was talking, and then at that time, politically, the country was facing a lot of challenge because Jayalalitha had gone there, and there was
right.
a political
it's kind of instability in the
government, the central government.
Right.
So Swami was narrating that, and then Swami said, "See, I have warned the Prime Minister. I have told him that there will be problems, there will be difficulties, but don't give any public statement. Don't give any public statement. Ek tufaan aata hai." Swami has told him. Ek tufaan aata hai, don't give any public. So he followed Swami's words, and he didn't give any public statement. So this whole conversation started when an elder in Kodaikanal, he said, "Swami, there is a lot of political upheaval, there's a lot of chaos going on, Swami. What is happening to this country?" And then Swami said, "See, I have already warned him. He will not give any public statement." Then he made the most powerful, one of the most powerful statements, you know, because we were sitting right around Swami, and he said, "Look here. I allowed this to happen because it is good for this country." And then he closed his fist and just showed it to all of us, and he says, "The future of this country is in my hands. What I allow will happen to this country." And at that moment, you know, as you said, we realized in whose presence we were. And when Swami says that my students will lead, will come, I think we cannot even comprehend in what way it will happen. What did Swami mean? What does Swami mean? If he says, yes, there will be leaders of the future, there will be. But how he will turn the key, how he will make things happen, we can never imagine. I think only thing left, the thing which is in our hands is to be ready.
Absolutely.
Just to be ready. That's what... beyond that, I like what Swami says, get a good name for yourselves and be ready. In what way Swami will use, in what way Swami does not need anybody. So as Swami says, be like the flute, totally hollow, and be an instrument in my hands.
Amazing, Sai Prakash. I think we had a lovely time recollecting some of these things, and every time I, you know, sit down and recollect some of these things, what strikes me is how much more is unexplored.
Exactly.
You know, how many people have such treasures, you know, still to be spoken of. Every student we meet, every devotee we meet, when they open up, there's so much more, you know. Talking of, I mean, we can go on talking. I'm reminded you spoke of Bharat Bhagi Vidata. We started with Tagore. Tagore wrote Bharat Bhagi Vidata.
Correct.
And it said that K.M. Munshi, when he saw Swami, he was a person who wanted to resurrect Indian culture. He started the Bharati Vidya Bhavan and all that. And he said, when he saw Swami, I feel assured that my country is safe.
Wow.
He said, now I can rest in peace.
Yes.
And there are so many dimensions to Swami, and we just hope that as we go on, we are able to recollect and for our academic use, document as much as possible.
True.
And so let us thank Swami for this opportunity. Swami, we offer this humble effort of ours at your lotus feet. And your listeners, as Raghu left you with the announcement, we too will remind you that there is a new program starting from today at 7:30 p.m., 7:30 to 8:30, Shravanam Mananam Nididhyasanam. And we are happy to say that myself and Sai Prakash will be back here with another member to join the discussion. We will be playing for you a discourse. We have chosen the 1990 Samuko series, and we will be playing for you an excerpt from that discourse, and that is Shravanam, and we will try to reflect on what we hear from Swami. So please do join us then. That will be 7:30 p.m. after the bhajan tutor in the evening. So, Sai Prakash, thank you for joining me.
Thank you, Prem, and it's really wonderful. And you know, thinking of all these episodes and incidents and the lessons that Swami taught us, sometimes it just makes you wonder how much more is there to grow and how much more is there to... I'm sure with His grace, we will rise up and then we will come to... That is also in His hands. Who has to stay, who has to do, when they have to do, everything is in His hands. We just pray that, Swami, let it happen through us in spite of ourselves. I think that's the prayer we should end with.
Absolutely. So, dear listeners, this is Prem from Team Radio Sai, with me is Sai Prakash. We thank you for your company. The time now in our studio is a little past 2. Brother Chandu is not here with us, but he has left his program with us. We're going to rebroadcast a Love to Love segment which he presented for you on 28th of February. And at the end of the Love to Love program, you'll be joined by the Telugu team, who are bringing a very interesting conversation with some doctors from the General Hospital. So do tune in if you understand the language. Thank you for your company. And thanking Swami for this opportunity, we conclude this afternoon satsang.